It's 6:45. Good morning, I'm Anthony Murnau with KRWG News. U.S. wildlife managers say they have placed a record 22 captive-born Mexican gray wolf pups into dens in the wild to be raised by surrogate packs. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service made the announcement on Monday. Officials have said that the fostering program has helped to boost the genetic diversity of the wild population in New Mexico and Arizona. Policies restricting access to comprehensive reproductive health care are costly to women in states' economies. That's according to a new study by the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Ross Brown reports from the Texas News Service.
The group has launched a new tool to assess the financial impacts of state-level reproductive health restrictions. Alexis McGill-Johnson with the Planned Parenthood Federation of America says restricting access to comprehensive reproductive health care not only costs individual women wages, but can be expensive for state economies.
We know at the national level, the state-level abortion restrictions cost $105 billion per year by reducing labor force participation and earnings.
Data from the new online tool shows that if all state-level abortion restrictions were eliminated, more than 500,000 women would enter the workforce. The estimated earnings increase for working women in Texas would be more than $14 billion. I'm Roz Brown.
Now to the Tuesday Health Watch. Thousands of low-income Texans living with HIV are in limbo, worried they may lose access to life-saving medication. That's because the state-administered Texas HIV medication program is dealing with a major budget deficit. State lawmakers just awarded the program millions of dollars. But as Houston Public Media's Sarah Willa Ernst reports, even with those funds, budget cuts remain a possibility.
The state budget is hundreds of pages long, allocating billions in funding. On one line, you'll find $36.3 million. That's what lawmakers approved this session to keep the Texas HIV drug program afloat. While that only covers part of its shortfall, January Fox says,
"This is definitely a win, and we'll take it."
Fox is an HIV advocate and policy director at Prism Health North Texas. She says since the pandemic began, lots of Texans living with HIV have resorted to the program after job losses. The program has grown about 30% in the past year, according to the Department of State Health Services. At the beginning of the session,
"I think that we had a problem, a real problem, and everybody came together, your advocates on the ground, DSHES, our elected officials, everybody came together to make sure that this program received the funding."
Still, DSHS originally asked lawmakers for three times as much money, nearly $103 million, to clear the drug program's entire deficit and stave off something like a medication wait list. A department spokesperson told me they lowered their ask by moving money around, cutting some costs, and lastly, relying on federal funds. Something Fox isn't fond of because that money is not guaranteed.
"I think that DSHES is taking a big risk by not going with their original number and really relying on those federal funds to come in."
Now, many advocates and people in the HIV community are concerned, and were already on edge after a December incident with the medication program. That month, some Texans were removed without notice. Frank Rosas is a longtime HIV survivor.
"A lot of people weren't even finding out that they were dropped from the program until they went to the pharmacy and picked up their medications."
Which is one of the reasons advocates like Lindsay Lanigan from Legacy Community Health in Houston pushed legislators to require 60 days advance notice for all stakeholders if something similar were to happen again.
"So I think it's a direct result of sort of feeling like they were kept in the dark, that we were all kept in the dark as providers as well."
Now, another line of the state's budget shows that rule codified into law.
"I think it's a really good thing to provide notice to people that are going to be potentially affected and cut off of the program."
After what happened in December, program administrators at DSHS have been actively trying to rebuild trust around the critical medication program. They held a town hall meeting in March and launched a webpage answering constituents' questions. But even with this incremental change, better transparency, and the state funds, Stephen Vargas, also an HIV survivor, says many have one thing on their minds.
"This has helped us avoid implementing a wait list. I think that'd be the worst thing that we could do."
If the federal money doesn't come through to fill the budget gap, Vargas says in Houston,
we have some workarounds that can help us help folks living with HIV still get access to their meds. But I'm not sure if this exists in a rural area. It still leaves a huge group of people living with HIV in Texas out.
Currently, the Texas HIV medication program serves around 23,000 Texans. In an email, a spokesperson from DSHS said they are monitoring the program to see if a waitlist may become necessary. I'm Sarah Willa-Ernst in Houston.